Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, October 15th, 2018. What's going on? How are ya? You hear the echo. I am in New York City, everybody. I am here for the next 2-3 days. I'm doing a bunch of press to promote my show at Madison Square Garden on November 7th of this same year of our Lord and the Chinese chicken. Whatever the fucking Chinese, whatever is it? Is it the year of the monkey? That was the year I was born. I was born the year of the monkey, you know? I find that very offensive. I am not a monkey. Yeah, I am. I'm a dancing monkey. I was born in the Chinese New Year of the dancing monkey. Shanghai shit joke. I'm trying to do alliteration right there. It didn't really work. Anyways, what's good? I mean, could I be having a better sports weekend? I mean, I gotta tell you, if I'm Bill Burr, I gotta be pretty fucking happy with what I saw last night on the fucking boob tube. You would think
that I would be excited last night that my New England Patriots,
that I would be excited that they knocked off the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs. Okay? Now, obviously, I am happy that we won the fucking game. But if somebody's going to sit there and tell me that that's what a football game is going to look like in the future, I don't even know what that... It was like watching two people play in Madden football. You know what? It reminded me of the Super Bowl last year where there was just no defense. And you know who likes shit like that? People who aren't fans of the fucking game. I just, you know... Tyreek Hill, everybody. How many fucking times was he gonna catch a fucking ball? It was like that when Tom Brady goes down, leads us down like he always fucking does for the go ahead score. All right? Tyreek Hill, number 10 in your fucking playbook, in your program. A fucking accountant who doesn't watch sports would be like, "Hey, you know, I don't want to come off like a know-it-all. I barely watched this game, but I'm going to say you might want to cover that number 10 guy." Mahomes comes up the line. Right? Fucking the guy goes out untouched. Running across the middle of a fucking NFL defense. Unfucking touched. Tra-la-la. Catches the fucking ball. I don't know. I was in a sports bar. What was it 60, 70, 80 fucking yards? Untouched. Who would have thought that Patrick Showtime Mahomes was going to go to fucking the guy he'd been going to who had been killing you the whole fucking game? I understand if the guy beats you. I understand if he gets the best of you. I understand that. But to basically not even cover the guy? I would expect to see some play like that in Central Park. Watching a couple of Wall Street psychopaths playing fucking touch football. That was pathetic. It was fucking pathetic. All right, having said that, I love Patrick Mahomes. I'm sold on the guy now, all right? I don't crown somebody king in September of their first fucking year as a starter. But yes... Yes, a fucking amazing, just an amazing beast of a fucking player. Having said that, I don't know what the fuck is going on. Dude, that fucking guy in the Kansas City Chiefs, where they're trying to suggest that this, he had Tom Brady for a sack, and he's like, don't hurt the quarterback. And then he fucking, he runs in for a touchdown. It's just like. I understand, I guess, because of the concussions and the long-term effects, I guess I have to adjust how I watch the game. And when it comes to quarterback, who's kidding who? All right, those are the hot chicks. Okay? They're not paying a cover. They're not buying a drink. You know? They're going to be sitting there looking at their fucking Instagram, bored out of their fucking minds because they get everything. That's what a quarterback is going to be. All right, depending on what they're doing for the league, because those are the ones that, you know, bring in the money. But that, you know, I don't know. It's fun to watch all of that offense, but like watching a guy
sack a quarterback and then unsack him because he doesn't want to get in trouble. And then seeing that same guy who runs worse than me score a touchdown, I guess was fun because I was a Patriots fan. But as a fan of football, I mean, I don't know. I guess, I remember a long time ago I watched an NFL films. This is before, you know, they started overly protecting quarterbacks and, you know, leading with your shoulder, which I think is a good thing. Who's kidding who? Right? Not to protect overly protecting the quarterbacks. I don't like that at all. But I remember seeing this old school football guy, he played in the 1950s or 40s, and they asked him what you thought about today's NFL. And this was like in the 90s. And he just was talking through his teeth. He's like, I wouldn't watch your football game today if you fucking his head almost exploded. Steam coming out of his ears. And I was just laughing, going like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? And now that I am old enough to have seen the game change as much as it has, I feel like I'm turning into that guy. Hey, Bill, what'd you think about your team beating the Chiefs last night?
How do you not cover Tyreek Hill?
Like, I'm fucking... Dude, I was in this sports bar, and the whole game, it was just people screaming, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was like they were watching an eight-year-old try to land a jumbo jet. Was the energy in the fucking room, you know, which I guess is great. Oh, by the way, epic fucking sports bar guy. I really learned how much people hate the fucking Patriots. With the hatred this guy had. Dude, he got thrown out of the bar like he was fucking Earl Weaver. It was like, I swear to God, it was like watching a baseball manager get ejected. He got thrown out of a sports bar. Not for fighting, because how much he was yelling at the fucking TV. Like, completely lost his composure. I saw so much of me in this guy, but it's like, I do it in private. I do it when I'm driving a car or when I'm at home with my wife, which is why, you know, she fucking, you know, doesn't like me. No, she likes me, but I mean, I'm tough to live with. This fucking guy was like when the, you know, Patriots went up big, right? 24 to whatever. You know, when the Chiefs started coming back, this guy, like, he just fucking lost it. He like, the whole night was fucking hilarious because I went in there with a friend of mine and we were meeting another buddy of mine. And I was texting him going, hey, man, we're almost here. All right, we're pulling up. And he's like, cool, right? So I go in there. I don't see him. So I'm like, oh, shit, that's weird. I can't believe I fucking beat this guy here. So we grab a table going, yeah, you know, we got one other guy coming. So we grabbed a four-top and we're sitting there. And the Patriots scored a touchdown. And I just hear this fucking guy just be like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. America. Like, just being an idiot. And I'm like, who the fuck is that jackass? I look down, and it's my buddy that I'm supposed to be fucking hanging out with. So me and my friend, we laugh, we get our shit, and we go over there. So anyway, so we sit down. So that's the first clue that there was going to be this lunacy. So at that point, we'd gone up like 24 to like fucking 3 or 6 or something like that. And was like, wow, man, they're mopping the floor with these guys. This is crazy, right? And all of a sudden, the Chiefs start coming back. It's like 24-13, 24-20. And this fucking guy down the end of the bar, man. And he looked like he was older than me. You know, but at this point at my age, I probably was fucking 5-7 years older than this guy, right? But I'm in Hollywood, so I take care of myself. I drink plenty of water. I use lotions. This fucking guy was aging like that fucking Quint in Jaws, right? So he's down, you know, when the Chiefs scored the first time the Chiefs scores, he's like, yeah, all right, you know? And then when they scored the second time, he just started yelling like, that's right. That's right. It's 2018. This is the new NFL. It's fucking over for you. It is over for you. And he was yelling about the Patriots. He was so sick of them winning. And dude, I'm telling you. And then the Patriots, of course, come back and match it. And, you know, we got a couple of pass interference calls. And this fucking guy was losing his shit and just getting madder and madder. And
it started off where he would yell about the play and then yell about it for 3 minutes. And then it just was 5 minutes, 7 minutes. And then he was just yelling at the fucking TV. And he had just completely lost all composure. And the Patriots went up by 7 again. And they looked like they were pulling away. He missed the whole end of the fucking game. I just wish he was there. Like, it was getting... You know, the old me would have engaged with this guy, you know, because I was having a couple of pops, but I was kind of like, you know, older and wiser. You know, when the Chiefs went up by 3 points and he was screaming, this is the new rule, blah, blah, blah. I did one point yell down. I went, regular season, because he was starting to annoy me. And then he just completely, like I said, he was just yelling. Like, I mean, the only thing was missing was this guy, like, just if they had a home plate on the barroom floor and he could have just pushed the dirt all over it. I mean, he completely fucking lost it and was just going, you fucking referees in that fucking Pittsburgh game. Oh, fucking motherfuckers. This is fucking bullshit. And everybody in here knows it. He said that. Everybody in here knows it. And I was just, I was like... Yeah, I was just like, is that what I look like? That's fucking, I'm this guy. But he took it to a next, in like the next level, you know what I mean? Where you thought like, you know? It was like I was fucking Michael Jordan of losing my shit, you know? And then along comes Kobe Bryant. You're like, oh, wow, I thought, well, that's not a good comparison because he wasn't better. I don't know, Dan Marino, right? And then that's not a good comparison because Dan Marino would have thrown for 6,000. You know, whatever. You're a fucking Hall of Famer. You put up all these fucking numbers. You're like, no one's ever going to catch this guy. And then all of a sudden you see yourself get topped. You're like, wow, man, records really are meant to be broken. Even the ones no one wants to break. So I guess they had been warning the guy. Because it got to the point where it was kind of like... He basically turned everybody into the bar into like his kid. And he was the dad driving the car. And everybody was just sort of being looking around like, dad's really getting worked up today, huh? So. And he was with this woman and she was just smiling, looking down at the bar. I mean, she couldn't have been with him. She would have been mortified. I don't know. Or she's just the biggest saint ever. And she just, what, I like a passionate fella. So anyways, the bouncer comes in and literally just taps him on the shoulders like, you have to go. And he put his jacket on. He didn't resist on any level, but he never stopped yelling and screamed the whole way out of the bar. It was like, it was literally like performance art. And everybody in the bar just had like such like a funny attitude towards it. Like, there was no, none of that fucking shit that goes on today where that triggered me. And is this a safe space? It was none of that. People were just laughing. Just watching like one of the most epic fucking frustrated sports fans I've ever seen. I mean, I tried to start the slow clap when he was being escorted out. You know, I just felt like the guy, he deserved a round of applause. I've never seen anybody like, you know, back in the day, they came up with something in the 70s because people were throwing shit at their TVs and they were breaking them while they were watching television. So somebody invented like this thing. It looked like a brick, but it was soft and you could throw it. But this, you know, eventually that went away because the satisfaction is the sound of glass shattering, you know, of breaking the thing that's making you up, that's either, you know, is not working for you. Speaking as a person with a temper, right? You want the inanimate object to pay. Which is why I remember a long time ago, when this actor, I'm not going to say his fucking name, whatever, but he was trying to call his wife, and the fucking phone wasn't working, and he called down to the hotel, the front desk, and they couldn't help him make it work, so he ripped it out of the wall, and he went downstairs, and he threw it. He threw the phone at the fucking guy. You know, the guy got a little cut on his head and shit, but I got to be honest with you, like, as much as he shouldn't have done that, I can't imagine the release that that must have been. How satisfying. He literally took the thing that wasn't working, and he threw it at the person that couldn't help him make it work. I mean, that is just like, you know, two for two, right? That's like pitching a perfect game in anger. So anyways, hats off to that fucking guy. Hats off to Patrick Mahomes. He's fucking amazing. Chiefs have a great fucking team, but like, you know, I don't know how anybody thinks either one of those teams is going to win the fucking Super Bowl. You can't. They both let up 40 and 43 points. And everybody's, I remember seeing that back in the fucking day. Like, that was how the Dolphins never won, when they had Dan Marino, because they had no fucking defense. It was just like, all right, Dan, you know we're going to give up 35, 38 points. Do you got 40 in you again today? He had to go out and score fucking 40 points so he could win by two or three. And those teams never won Super Bowls. And to this fucking day, he gets shit for it. Like, they blame the one guy who wasn't a problem. They blame the fucking guy that got him to as far as they could fucking go before they would run into a fucking great defense, which would, you know, knock down whatever Dan was going to do by 7 to 10 points. But his shit defense would still give up the fucking 35, 38 points, and then they'd lose. And then everybody, oh, Dan Marino can't win the big one. You know, fucking Joe Montana couldn't win the big one with those fucking defenses. I mean, how many times you got to watch sports? Defense wins championships, okay? I don't know what the fuck everybody's so excited about last night's goddamn game, watching two teams giving up 40 points. I can't wait to, you know, come playoff time. Come playoff, right? Anyway, so meanwhile, on a TV screen right next to it was the Red Sox and the Astros. Now, I was out doing spots, so I missed like the first half of the game. By the time I came in, it was 5-4. I don't know how Price looked or whatever. I got to go read some shit on it, but I think he left at 5-4. So I believe Kimbrel hadn't let that run in to make it 7-5. I used to know how this works. I think he would have got the victory. So if that is the case, then he kind of got screwed out of a win last night. But I got to tell you, the Astros fucking let us up off the mat, because obviously going up 2-0 was huge. But the thing was, they beat Sale. And that's what the Yankees had to do. They had to beat Sale, because then you get to Price, and Price has not won in October. So you basically got yourself two fucking wins. And for the Yankees, they got the first two out of three that they needed. And even with the Astros, if you win the first two fucking games, the other team has to win four of the next five. And you just have to go 2-3. See, it's all about the math. So, you know, I did not have high hopes for how we were going to look against the Astros, and how game one went down was how I thought the series was going to go down. But after watching last night, I was like, all right, you know, this is the fucking Sylvester Stallone. You ain't so bad. You ain't so bad. But they are an incredible fucking team. So we shall see. Hey, who's that bearded guy with the Bob Stanley body that we have in middle relief? That guy's been doing all right. When I saw him, I had flashbacks to 1986 with Bob Stanley running out of the bullpen. I mean, that fucking guy, I swear to God, like, he had like a cop body. Like a stereotypical, like bad cop. I don't mean crooked cop. I mean, like, you know, just, you know, he just, every year he just order a bigger uniform. You know, one of those fucking guys.
and him just coming running out, you know, his skinny fucking legs and his flabby fucking, I mean, how are you like a professional athlete and then you can't take your shirt off at the pool? You know, it's just fucking unbelievable to me. That's basically the body that guy had. So old Muffin Top Johnson, whoever the fuck we have on coming out in middle relief, that guy, he's just been aces. He's been fucking aces. And Kimbrel just, you know, you die a thousand fucking deaths with that guy. It's just like he's going to let in at least one run is what I've just come to expect. And the shit that I say when, oh, this motherfucker, this fucking hook arm son of a, oh, you, yeah, of course you walked him, right? I the second he gets in the game, I stand up and I just start pacing. And I know that, like, I'm also a lunatic, but I, hats off to that fucking guy. Like, that guy last night, he's one of those grown men that when his team finally wins it, like, he's gonna fucking cry. Like, he's like, this is the new NFL. Like, how much it meant to him for his team to win. And how sick he was of the Patriots just fucking getting all the calls and all the shit that you say about all the fucking great teams. I've fucking been there, and I was just to watch it. It was I really learned a lot about myself. It's very rare that you see two exciting games like that, and then somebody's behavior is at the same level. I mean, all three of them. We're aces, but Jesus Christ, is that Mahomes kid good? My God. I wish that Monday night guy didn't fucking hype him up so much and make me a fucking contrarian, like tap into that shit. It's like, can you just let me watch him be great and then I can say he's great rather than you spoon feeding what I'm supposed to be? I hope you realize what you just saw. All right, buddy, dial it down. It reminds me of like when that woman with the Yankees, the Roger Clemens call. Roger Clemens is, oh my goodness gracious. What? both of them should be doing wrestling. By the way, I want to thank everyone that came out in Saginaw, Michigan. First of all, I landed at the airport and I swung by the old address where my great-grandparents lived. They had a house, and my great-grandfather evidently dug the basement by hand. Stubborn German guy, right? And I don't. By the way, I don't know how the fuck you do that without your house falling down into the hole. I would imagine you'd have to start in the middle of the room, work your way out, and then pick one side, you know, and as you started to do it, you have to put something underneath the fucking foundation. Because I wouldn't feel safe going within 2 feet of whatever dirt the fucking foundation was sitting on. I don't know how the fuck you do that. But my buddy was laughing because we showed up to where the house was supposed to be, the address, and there was no house there anymore. It was, in fact, a lot of, in that area. You know, the houses are obviously, my great-grandparents lived there 100 fucking years ago. So the house is no longer there. It's not like it was knocked down. They put up something new. It was just like an empty lot. And my buddy was joking, being like, well, you know, your grandfather dug a basement here. Maybe that's why the house isn't here anymore. But I got to tell you, man, that theater that I played in, the sound in that theater was incredible. Just, it was such a live theater. It was incredible. I was like, wow, man, this is another one. You could tape a fucking special in here. And the crowd was awesome, and, you know, I was teasing him about fucking, you know, being farmers and all of that dumb shit that I do. And, you know, we were driving right down to Ann Arbor for the University of Michigan-Wisconsin Badger game the next day, and we were meeting some buddies in a bar and all of that shit. By the way, yeah, Sober October is just out the window for me. It's not happening, all right? I'm having a bad year. Next year I'll win the title. So anyways, I was saying in my head, all right, I usually do like upwards of 90 minutes. I'm probably gonna do like an hour and 15, jump in the car. I'm gonna get the fuck out of here, blah, 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 and all that shit. And I had such a good time. I ended up doing like an hour 30, an hour 35. Ended up going out doing like the meet and greet thing. And but it still all worked out because we found this bar that was open till 2 a.m. And me and my buddies, you know, Verzi, Bartnick, and our two other buddies that we go to the games with every year, we were having such a good fucking time, just laughing. It's like the most laughs I've had on a weekend. Just laughing our fucking asses off. Just breaking each other's balls. And we were just having such a good time. And we were so excited about the game the next day. You know, like all this, like the people that work there, they just start liking you. Then they were coming over. And, you know, next thing you know, the bar's closed. And they're like, all right, well, let's just go downstairs because it was a downstairs area so we don't get in trouble. And then we stayed down there till like fucking 4 a.m. So thank God it was a 7:30 game. So the next day, we fucking wake up and we go out to go get something to eat before we head over to the tailgate. I'm meeting a bunch of other friends, you know, some of my relatives and all that shit, to tailgate before we go into the fucking big house, right? This is my weekend. Ridiculous, right? So we go out to this place to get something to eat, man. And I'll tell you, like, when I tell you everything was just okay. It was all almost, like that almost tasted good. You know, how long it took for the food to get out. They didn't clear off any of the fucking plates. It was so fucking funny. Like this, it was just one of the worst run places I've been to in a long time. And like, I remember at one point I just saw this random, you know, person who worked there go by. And I just said, hey, excuse me, can we get our check? She's like, you're going to have to ask your server, and I don't know who that is. And I'm looking at her like, well, go fucking find out. And then, you know, of course she doesn't. I finally see our server, and I do that. And then she comes up, and she goes, excuse me, the people over there are trying to say that you're somebody. Are you somebody? Are you Bill Maher? Is what she said, which was so fucking perfect because the food, all the food was almost good. And then she almost recognized me and almost got my name right. So we were fucking crying laughing about how they just kept almost. And then she goes, what is your name? And I go, Michael. And she goes, Michael who? And I go, Strahan. And then afterwards, I go, no, I am. I go, actually, Bill Burr. Bill Maher does. And she goes, all right. She goes, so who was the guy you said you were? I said, Michael Strahan. He goes, I used to play for the New York Giants. Now he does one of those morning talk shows. And she goes, oh, what? So, like, you think that, you know, because I work in a sports bar that you just got to say, like, a sports person's name? That's kind of stereotypical, isn't it? And I looked at her like, am I getting like Me Too'd right now? Like what the fuck kind of energy is that? You know, really that part was like fucking annoying to me. Like how fucking full of yourself are you? You know, do you think that's all I am as a person? It's like, I don't even fucking know you. The only reason why I said Strahan is because I didn't think there'd be a follow-up question to Michael. That was the first name I thought of. Anyway, so I did stand-up last night at Gotham Comedy Club, and I was having a great time until I started making fun of women, and then everybody just fucking pulls back. It's one of my issues with fucking doing stand-up in New York City now is everybody is so, air quote, woke. It's like doing stand-up at a fucking woman's college. I feel like I'm performing in front of old people on a cruise ship, and you look at them, and they're like half my age, and they're borderline fanning themselves, and you're just looking at them like, guys, I'm 50. You should be shocking me. I'm telling you, this fucking generation, it's not millennials. It's the generation that, you know, what is it? Z, whatever the fuck they call these fucking people. The level of midlife crisis that these people are going to have, it's just going to be off the fucking, it's going to be off the fucking rails. So anyways, after crying laughing the night before, we were in this place, we were calling it the almost something or other, just crying laughing. It's just how poorly run the fucking thing was, right? Then we're out in the parking lot. We're trying to decide, all right, are we going to Uber over there? You know, because Uber's just taking forever to call or whatever. And so we finally decide we're going to Uber. and we just started singing this Bruce Springsteen song. Just trashing each other. You know, that in my whole time, we just kept doing that. You know, making fun of Bartnett because he was driving. Joe can't see shit. He's like farsighted. So he could see the fucking big house from Saginaw, but he couldn't see the car fucking 2 feet in front of him. And we're driving and it's raining out. And Verzi's in the back seat, like a quiver in his voice the entire fucking time. And I've resigned myself to the fact that we're going to die. And Paul was mad at me that I didn't get as upset as he was. It's just like, dude, we're doing 80 miles an hour with the guy who can't see in the rain. So what am I, Jack Ryan? Am I going to fucking reach over and grab the wheel? It's like we're either going to live or die. You know, we're not walking away with severe injuries. This is going to be a fireball death. So we just were singing. I can't remember. It was Joe Bartnick. He can't see shit. Changing lanes in the rain. I can't even do it anymore. I fucking shredded my voice doing it. Just trashing each other. And it just went all around. Paul Verzi. And the whole fucking thing. And then they sang one about me. And we're just drinking in this parking lot, laughing. Like the whole weekend was just, it just was one nonstop fucking laugh. Then we get to the tailgate. My buddies are on this golf course. And I have the Uber drop us off on the other side of the golf course. We had to walk like 10 fairways. And, you know, the ball breaking started by the second hole. And I'm like, I think it's over the next hill. Yeah, Bill, it's over the next hill. Like, where the fuck are we, you know? I don't know. I believe there was a Magellan reference. I can't even remember. And we're just fucking laughing, right? And we finally end up finding the tailgate. We're throwing the football around. We're playing that beanbag toss game or whatever that one of the guys there, he made his own. He built it from hand, and then he had in the hole, he had it lit. He had it like lights around the hole on the inside. It was just like to a whole other level, and it got really fucking competitive. And Verzi and this dude Al that we go with, they were like the two best. I'm like, you guys are the dream team. You got to take down the dentist, because this kid who was a dentist was the guy who fucking built the thing himself. Cornhole, I believe, is what the fucking game's called. And it got to the point everyone was just so fucking into it, right? And I sucked at it. Like, I just kept going for the hole. I never got one to just, I didn't, you gotta have like that Robert Parrish foul shot arc to your shit. So anyways, we're standing there, we're playing, and all of a sudden this fucking guy, you know, people kept walking between us, throwing it. You know, we were taking our time, letting people pass. And one guy, I swear to God, looked like the dude from fucking Radiohead. He just comes walking up, and he's fucking hammered real slowly. And then I tried to grab one of the bags out of my buddy's hands. And, you know, he's sort of a Midwest guy. So, you know, those guys, they got, like, a long fuse, Midwest people. But, you know, when they snap, forget about it. Because they, like, had to pick up tractors when they were kids. So they fucking squeeze you to death. So he kind of chills out. And I got the East Coast short fuse. So I just didn't like it because he wasn't saying anything and he was just staring that kid down. So I just looked at him. As a 50-year-old man at a tailgate, I looked at him and I said, the fuck is your problem? Like I'm going to roll around on the grass with this guy with my fucked up shoulder and my 50-year-old body, right? Not even thinking, oh, I've been P90X and have you, Bill? You're half a century old. Keep your fucking mouth shut and drink your Rolling Rock. But I didn't. So what the fuck is your problem? So he's walking away and he's staring at me and I'm fucking staring at him. And I'm like going, I'm about ready to get into a fight. Why? I got a kid. Like, what am I doing? But like, I'm not going to fucking look away from this fucking guy because as much as I'm thinking that, I fucking hate this kid. Right? So he's staring at me. He's staring at me. And then all of a sudden, and he won't stop staring as he's kind of walking away. And he's just as he's getting into a distance of like, all right, I think he's just going to bluff his way out of this. He fucking walks into an empty chair of somebody else's tailgate. And when I tell you it took like 9 seconds for this guy to slowly, it was like somebody chopped down a redwood, how long it took for him to fall. And all the tailgates, because they were kind of watching it, the whole thing transpire.
the like three tailgates as this guy falls. Everyone were like, oh, hit the ground. And everybody's dying laughing. And then he stands up, and he's still staring at me. Like, you ever see a drunk guy fall down, but he doesn't spill any part of his beverage? That's what he was doing, but with, like, a stare down. He had a cigarette. That's what he had. And he fucking hits the ground, and he's still staring at me. That Radiohead with one fucking eye more open than the other one. And then he puts his cigarette in his mouth, and as he's getting up, he's still staring at me. And he grabs the chair, and for half a second, I'm like, this fucking lunatic is going to throw this chair at me. And he just stood the fucking thing up and then looked at everybody and did a giant wave like it was the end of the performance. And I want to say he got an applause break and he walked away. So now we're all, once again, crying laughing. Fucking crying laughing, just having the best time ever. Then we end up going into the game. You know, I'm a couple of heaters in here, so this is when it becomes like the slideshow, right? We're at the tailgate. Shong-ching. Now we're getting checked by security. So we're fucking going into the big house, and I'm telling my buddies, I'm like, dude, it's not going to look like anything as you're walking up to it. Like two-thirds of it, they dug it into the ground. It's when you go in there, you see the fucking magnitude of this fucking place. It's going to be unreal. So we walked in there, and one of my buddies, I don't know how he did it, but, you know, there's no booze in there. He snuck an entire fifth of Crown Royal. I mean, like the one Keith Richards would take a swig out of. sit down, and he just pulls it out. And the people behind us laughed. It was so fucking ridiculous that he got it in. They were just laughing. They're like, Jesus Christ. They started laughing. And we just shared it with everyone around us. So then we were sort of like surrounded. It was like when you play chess and you build a castle. We did that with drunk people around us. And it was fucking cold out. And we just kept everybody warm. And just proceed. Then the fucking pregame thing started. I'm trying to find the video. They have James Earl Jones do it. And they're like, we are the Michigan Wolverines. We've won more games than any other college football team. Blah, 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 blah. And then at one point he goes, we bow to no one. And we were just laughing like, dude, I'm ready to run through a fucking wall. And then the Wolverines came running out. We were sitting right on the 50-yard line, like 12 rows up. We weren't too low that, you know, you lose, like, depth of perception, you know. We were sitting perfectly. And they all just come fucking running out. One whole side of 100,000 people is screaming, go! And then the other side would go, boo! It was fucking, just got chills. And then the game started, and fucking Michigan had their way with them. Thank God, because I did not want to see them lose, you know. And that would have ruined the experience. I always root for the fucking home team, you know, unless LSU's playing. And the game was great. I mean, it sucked if you were Badger fans because they kind of just had their way with them. But it was such a fucking, like, an amazing experience. And the amount of laughs that we had, I really think, like, we were all sitting there talking, going, I think that was the best one. I'm calling it right now. We're going to have a hangover one next year. Where, like, last year when we went to LSU Florida Gators, and it was just so fucking hot out that it was almost impossible to enjoy yourself. It was fucking ridiculous. So I think next year we're going to try to go to Clemson. I think we're going to try to go to Clemson or something like that. And we're going to try to knock out all those ones that are in, like, hurricane, you know, part of the world. Just so, you know, with global warming and all of that shit, we want to try to knock those out before those stadiums are underwater. So it's so sad, but you can't do anything but laugh about it, right? Oh, I got to text this person back. I'll be there.
I'll be there around 12:15. There we go. There we go. All right, plowing ahead. Let me do a couple of reads here. Let me do Joe Bartnick. Okay, here we go. My bookie, everybody. Oh, Jesus Christ. By the way, how bad were my picks? One of my locks of the weeks was the Giants. Take the Giants with the points at home. Holy shit. Sorry. Although I might be good at picking games where you just listen to me and you do the opposite. I want to say a couple of them came in. I think I went 2-3. I think it was more like 1-2. I picked three games, so either 2-1 or I went 1-2. I can't remember which. All right. Sure, watching football is fun, but it's more entertaining when you got some action on the game. Guys, you heard me talking about this for weeks, and some of you are still on the sidelines. Whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, like playing the numbers on roulette, you can create a big payday parlay. You pick three teams to win. You hit all three. You could turn $100 into $600. There's so much to bet on. Playoff baseball, hockey, primetime fights, and more. But MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year. All right? People recommend these guys and really trust them. MyBookie has been in business for years. They got great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. If you're on the sidelines, now is the time to get in the game. MyBookie will still match your first deposit dollar for dollar, but you got to join now because they'll be pulling that offer. Log on to MyBookie right now and double your money. Use promo code BURR and you'll get your first deposit matched 100%. That's promo code BURR. You play, you win, you get paid. All right. You play, you win, you get paid. Okay. Zero. What the hell is this? I didn't even know this one. For any smokers out there trying to quit, if you know someone who is, there's a revolutionary new way to quit called Zero. Zero's Quit Kit is a new quitting solution proven to increase your chances of kicking the habit by up to 4 times compared to going cold turkey. Talk about your experience or the experience of someone you know who is trying to quit smoking. Well, I smoke cigars, but I never did the cigarette. The cigarette thing is the hard thing. And evidently, it's harder to quit than kicking heroin. So, that's all I know. The Zero Quit Kit is a 3-tiered approach that includes prescription, medication, nicotine gum, and continued support through a mobile app. Here's how it works. Go to quitwithzero.com to start your online doctor visit. After your 5-minute visit, a physician will then determine if you're eligible to use the Quit Kit. If you're eligible, the doctor will prescribe your medication and the Quit Kit will be shipped directly to your door. Zero costs less than what the average smoker spends on cigarettes and less than other quitting options. Go to quitwithzero.com/burr, and for a limited time, my listeners can get their first month of the Quit Kit to stop smoking for just $37. That's quitwithzero.com/burr, quitwithzero.com/burr. That's like another fucking thing where you just realize that it really is all about money, you know? Because, you know, we're allegedly fighting a war on terror, and you have a fucking American corporations that, like, literally put glass in dip to give you microscopic cuts so you get more of a buzz and get more fucking into it. And just, I mean, they literally killed people. They're fucking mass murderers. Mass fucking murderers. You tell me what ISIS would do different with tobacco. They'd probably try to kill you a little quicker. Those dumb fucks, they probably put some fucking explosives in it and they'd only kill a few people and then get caught. Yeah, but you know what? I'm telling you, all you need to do to go from being a terrorist to an upstanding U.S. citizen is just donate to a politician's campaign, and then you're in the clear. That's all you got to do. All right, Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best, and you never have to go to a store. That's because they deliver everything you need right to your door, and they keep you fully stocked on what you use so you don't run out. Here's how it works. Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to get ready, no matter what you're getting ready for. They have you covered head to toe. For your what? Oh, your hair, your skin, your face, you name it, they have it. And they have this new program where they automatically keep you stocked up on the products you use. You determine what you want and when you want it, and it shows up right at your door. From once a month to once every 6 months, plus with their handsome discount, the more you buy, the more you save. And right now, Dollar Shave Club has a bunch of status sets you can try for just $5, like their oral care kit. After that, the restock box ships regular size products at regular price. Get your starter set for just $5 right now at Dollar Shave Club, dude. DollarShaveClub.com/burr. That's DollarShaveClub.com/burr. And lastly, but certainly not leastly, Stamps.com. Stamps.com never closes. Print postage for any letters or any packages at your convenience 24/7. Print postage for any class of mail right from your own computer. The exact amount of postage every time. Never underpay or overpay. Again, Stamps.com saves you time and money, which you can use to grow your business. Stamps.com brings all the amazing services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. Tips. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com makes it easy. They'll send you a digital scale, automatically calculates exact postage. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. No need to lease an expensive postage meter, and there are no long-term commitments. So right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Burr, B-U-R-R, that's Stamps.com, enter Burr. All right, let's get into some of the questions here for the week. Oh, here's some upcoming dates. Baltimore, Maryland, October 18th, this Thursday. I'll be at the Model Lyric. Early show is sold out. Late show tickets still available. Atlantic City, New Jersey, Borgata Resort, October 19th, two shows. Phoenix, Arizona, October 26th, Comerica Theater. Evening show says sold out. Stand up live. I'm doing a live podcast. Once again, the only time I've ever done it before was the same place. Stand up live. Monday morning podcast taping. There's still a few tickets still available. New York City, Madison Square Garden. I'll be there November 7th. And Chicago, November 8th through 10th. I'll be tickets still available for the late show on the 8th. Oh my God, the late show. So that means I'm doing two shows. Jesus Christ, Chicago. Oh, you guys are always supporting me, man. I really appreciate that. All right, let's get into some of the questions here for the week. All right, Sociopath Island. Yo, Billy One Punch, check out Psycho Pass. It's an anime show about the same idea you had last week, throwing all the psychos on an island. Hey, you know what, man? I watched the clip of that. I think I'm going to get into that show. As far as I can tell, because there's no talking or anything, there's no dialogue in it, it looks like there's a group of people who aren't sociopaths. And for some reason, they have to go to Psycho Island and fucking maybe rescue somebody. I don't know, but it's definitely interesting. And as always, I came up with a great idea that not only did somebody else already have, they've already developed it. That happens to me all the time. And the worst case of it was the time when I wanted to do a parody of a drum instructional video. And someone's like, somebody already did that. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Fred Armisen. All right, dude, you called it DNA. Yo, Bill, listening to the throwback last week, and you mentioned how even if you don't bank online, your shit is online anyways. That was 2010. Now you're coming down on Ancestry DNA test, and I think history is going to repeat itself. This article basically says that even if you don't send your DNA into the internet, they will be able to deduce all of your DNA info anyways. Yeah, they need like 6 million people. They're halfway there. All felons, you know, have to give up their fucking DNA. And then all these fucking mouth-breathing fucking morons who just trust people are sending in their fucking saliva to the fucking internet. It's so stupid. The article says once the registry reaches 3 million, I was wrong. They'll be able to identify the people who haven't sent in their DNA. Currently, they're at the 1 million mark. Dude, you called it. Yeah. And it's like, what are they going to do with it? Like, the fact that you're going to sit there and you're going to depend on all of these fucking people to do the right thing. I mean, look what's going on. Like, everybody knows what the fuck is going on in the world right now. but you can't really talk about it because they got the game so sewed up that you're viewed as like a sociopath or fucking un-American. If you even remotely criticize what the fucking people who are making tons of money off of other people's misery are, and they're just going to have you. It's going to be game, set, fucking match. And I'm not even going to read that article because it's going to be so fucking depressing because people are just, they're just going to keep doing it. Yeah, it's just going to be like, I think it all ties into how people that are in control, if they're doing wrong things, it makes you paranoid and you cannot have enough information on people. And then also, there's no fucking way that these people, when they go to those Bilderberg fucking meetings, there is no fucking way that they are not having hardcore, you know, I need to go to the hotel bar after this and fucking drink this meeting off, talks about the population problem and climate change. There's no fucking way that they're not talking about that shit and how the fuck they're going to handle it and how they're going to survive and who else they're going to determine is going to survive. And that God has put us in power. We have to make these tough decisions. Which, I mean, I have a solution on how you could fucking solve those problems. But, you know, I don't know. So I think they're trying to get as much information so they know, you know. I think once they get everybody microchipped, then that's when they're going to start fucking thinning the herd. And they need to do it quick. And this right here, this train of thought is why I don't watch the fucking news. Because that's everything that's going on and everything that they're showing. That's what... I can't even watch the Weather Channel anymore. I'm just like, dude, this is a fucking done deal here. This is over. Anyways, buying a car. Hey, let's get back to some fucking bread and circus here. Buying a car. Dear Billy Bald Boy. Hey, Bill. I just wanted to say thank you for your show you put on in Springfield. It was fantastic and definitely would love to see you come back sometime. I had a great time too. Thank you. I always listen to the podcast on my bus ride to school. Anyways, I am a sophomore in high school and I just received my permit. Ah, good for you, man. That's a big day. I have a job and I'm saving up for a car. I was wondering what your first car ever was and what kind of car would be good for a first timer like me, and what should I look for when buying a car that would be beneficial? Thanks and go fuck yourself. I had a 1983 Ford Ranger, 4-cylinder, 5-speed overdrive, black vinyl seats, fire engine red, the long bed. There was not 2-wheel drive, nothing cool about it. But it only had 19,000 miles on when I bought it, so it was definitely reliable. I paid $5,000 for it. I went out and got a loan and with the job. So, you know, I got a loan, I established credit and that type of shit. Still remember my it was Danvers Savings Bank, 1 Conant Street, Danvers, Mass, something, something, something. And my payment was $138.63. I still fucking remember that. So if I was you, you're obviously going to buy a used car. I mean, I always loved the Hondas and the Toyotas back in the day because those engines would just last forever. I don't know what they're doing now, but I remember I got some acting work and I made some money, but I've always been a frugal son of a bitch. So rather than buying a new car in like the late 90s, I bought a 1988 Honda Accord LX 5-speed, 4-door 5-speed, and I fucking loved that car. It had 100,000 miles on it when I drove it, and that fucking thing could cruise at 100 miles an hour still. No fucking problem. It was such a well-built car. So if I was going to go used, you know, you got to be careful with whatever the flashy cars are. Like when I was a kid, everybody would try to go out and buy the Burt Reynolds fucking Trans Am with the screaming chicken or the flaming eagle, whatever the fuck they called it on the hood. And you just had to know that those cars were driven like a sports car, fucking burnouts and neutral drops and all the shit that people used to do, trying to do the Jim Rockford backing it up and whipping the fucking front end around. So I don't know. And I also liked having a 4-door car because I used to like heading out with my friends. Everybody could pile in. And, you know, all depends on what you're looking for. But I would definitely, get something that is that has the reputation of lasting rather than, I don't know. I mean, you do want something kind of cool. Try, if you can blend both those worlds, something kind of cool looking, but also is going to last, I would get something like that. And, you know, if you have to take out a little bit of a loan, you know, you already got a job. That's fucking cool. You establish credit. You pay the fucker off. And then, you know, then you're into that world, right? Learn about money and all of that shit. All right, Halloween costumes. Oh, I got to wrap this up quick here because I got to get running here. Dear Dr. Billy Stein, I have a 2-year-old daughter. Oh, congratulations. As well, and I'm starting to remember all this fun stuff we do this autumn season. Jump in piles of leaves, watch Halloween movies, and try to scare the shit out of ourselves by running through the woods at night. I don't think I've ever heard you recall any favorite Halloween costumes or Halloween memories. Do you and Nia have any plans to dress up your daughter? Also, if you had a professional costume and makeup team, what would you go for as Halloween at this point in your life? P.S. Nothing goes better with a cigar than apple cider. Nothing. Really? Really? Well, it just so happens I know somebody who makes apple cider, who also happens to be one of my favorite drummers of all time, Tim Alexander from Primus. He has his own cider. What the fuck is it called again? He just fucking asked me if I wanted some, too, and I told him I can't. I'm fucking in sober October, which I was, and now I'm not. Let's see. Tim Alexander cider. This shit is, I mean, if you're into fucking cider, man. Okay, herbcider.com. What do we got here? Here we go. Yeah, it's called Herb Cider. It's hard. Herb Cider is a craft cider produced by world-renowned drummer Tim Herb Alexander and his wife Shama, created their first batch of cider in their garage in the fall of 2016. Yeah, dude, he gave me some of that stuff. It's fucking delicious. And then he gave me like a whole case of it. So I brought it down to the comedy store and I gave it out to a bunch of comics. And everybody was just like, kind of fucking went nuts for it. So anyways, let's get back to the Halloween stuff. Okay, what are you asking me? Do I have any plans to dress up? Yeah, I mean, I usually dress up like John Bonham or a fucking, you know, maybe I was going to go as Vinnie Paul this year, you know, just as he passed away this year or something like that. And as far as our daughter, my wife was talking. She was going to dress her up like Bruno Mars because our daughter has like curly hair. She's so fucking cute. It's ridiculous. But at the last second, she went to the costume place and she got us all like matching like skeleton costumes, which I thought was a little hacky going out as a when she told me the idea, but then I saw them. They're really fucking cool, and it's going to look cute, you know. We're having a Nia does the kid Halloween party every year, so we have a bunch of kids come over. So I guess I couldn't dress up like something too scary. And I guess if I dressed up like John Bonham or Vinnie Paul, they wouldn't know who it was, and they'd probably just look like a scary fucking guy. So anyways, did I answer your question? I don't even fucking know. I'm thinking about smoking a cigar, drinking some fucking apple cider, though. Or underrated. Going to things by yourself. No girls, no friends, no family, no problem. Hey, they're Billy Freckle Glutes. My whole life, I had this dilemma regarding going to events or social gatherings alone. I've even had friends say that if you eat alone at a restaurant or McDonald's or something, that's social suicide. Well, no one ever told me that. I love going to shit by myself. This can be really debilitating, especially if your work schedule sucks. You live in a town or a million other reasons. But I finally figured it out. Who cares? Half the time that you do have a group to go to something with, people flake, want to change plans, times, etc. If there's an event you really want to go to, you have to think about yourself and just go, even if you are by yourself. And I write this as I'm a little nervous, wanting to go to see a comedy show tonight that I have to drive a bit to that's out of the way and go there alone. Well, I'll be honest with you. I just don't sit up front if you go to a comedy show alone. But other than that, there's no problem with it. And then, you know, you usually meet people, you know.
I used to go to shit by myself all the time. Baseball games, football games, all of that shit. Except I wouldn't talk to anybody because I was a fucking lunatic. Anyways, I say this constantly having to deal with the issue, including your tours. Some very good friends dropped out of going to your show. While I don't blame them, I just feel like for me, it puts you in this spot of, oh, now I just can't go. And your instinct is that you getting that experience is impossible. What? And your instinct is that you getting that experience is impossible. Well, fuck that. You might as well go, because if you think of it in that way, you will miss out on 1,000 Bill Burr special sporting events, holidays, and before you know it, you're at the end of your road and have all these piled up regrets. Forget about the stigma of solo attending things. Live your life and have fun. Did you guys hear my stomach growling there? Try not to eat like a fucking asshole here. And that's all you have to say. That's all I have to say about that. Can't wait for you to see you at the Garden, you ranty bastard. Go fuck yourself. Thanks for the laugh, inspiration, and one more time, go fuck yourself. Yeah, dude, go. If you want to go, go. Just because someone else can't go, I mean, what are they? What are they? The fucking dictator of what you go to? Absolutely go to your, by yourself. And then chat up a couple of ladies. Who are you here with? Ah, I came by myself. It's actually like a fucking strong move. All my friends flaked, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go. I'm sure I'll meet somebody nice. And look, I ran into you. And then you're in. Right? Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna have an afternoon delight. I came to the shit all by myself, and now I'm talking to you. Would you like to see my dick? Hey, I was just fucking around. Please don't meet to me. Hey, sorry. Anyways, would you like to see my dick? I asked fucking permission. Why are you flipping out? Please don't put that on Twitter. Sorry, I'm losing my fucking mind. You know what I realized, too? I'm in my fucking apartment here, and people are going to be hearing me down the hall singing about Me Too stuff, and I don't want to trigger anybody. All right? That shit. All right, go Red Sox. Go Patriots. Patrick Mahomes is the real deal. I miss defense in the NFL. That's all I have to say. Go fuck yourselves, and I'll check in on you on Thursday.